DBA DevOps with DBA Tools and Chrissy LeMaire.
The Azure DevOps Podcast is a show for developers and DevOps professionals shipping software using Microsoft technologies. Each show brings you hard-hitting interviews with industry experts, innovating better methods, and sharing success stories. Listen on to learn how to increase quality, ship quickly, and operate well. And now your host, Jeffrey Palermo.
Welcome to the show. I'm Jeffrey Palermo, your host. Make sure to check out www.azuredevops.show for past episodes and show notes. And I'm excited, continue to be, that lots of people are taking me up on my open invitation to speak virtually at your .NET user groups. And at the time of this recording tonight, I'll speak at the Austin.NET user group virtually. If you run a .NET user group, I'd love to get on your schedule. And if you're tuning in for the first time, this podcast is for developers who are shipping software with Microsoft technologies in all those various facets. And my goal for all development teams is to be able to move fast, deliver quality, and run their systems with confidence. And if you have some specific issues, let me know. I'd love to help. This particular podcast episode is being sponsored by Cloudify.co. Automate Ansible, Terraform, and Kubernetes to your Azure and private cloud directly from your .NET and Visual Studio environments natively with no additional heavy lifting. Cloudify.co, your orchestrator of orchestrators. Thank you so much for the sponsorship of this episode. Now, let's get on to our guest. Chrissy LeMaire is with me today on the Azure DevOps podcast, and she is a cloud and data center management and data platform MVP who started working in IT over 20 years ago, and she's the creator of the popular SQL PowerShell module DBA tools. She holds a master's degree in systems engineering and is a co-author of Learn DBA Tools in a Month of Lunches. So Chrissy, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm so good. Thank you for having me on.
No, my pleasure. And you, just before we get into the stuff to talk about, you have your own show. And so you're a pro at all this recording stuff, right?
I was like, wait, do I? Yeah, well, I am on Twitch. I have a lot of fun there. I like how casual it is. So I'm at twitch.tv/potato quality, but the quality is T-E-E, like petite.
Yeah, and I've watched some of that stuff, and it alongside of being informative, it's just got that, you know, entertaining quality. So there's a lot of tech stuff that's a little bit dry, but yours is not. It's awesome.
Thank you so much. I think it's because I have so much fun with it. I love PowerShell. I don't love writing the book all the time, not gonna lie. I do I live stream writing DBA tools in a month of lunches because I've always wanted to know how that process works and always had it in my head, you know, about like this beautiful library that the authors are like, you know, writing their book from. And I wanted to give people insight to that. And I was super excited whenever I saw that you're also a Manning author, like three times over.
Yeah, it was, man, that was 2009. It's over a decade ago, but they're out there, and there's the, one of them got translated into Chinese and they sent me a copy. I didn't know how to read it, but it's there.
Nice. That's super cool. I love working with Manning. They are the dream kind of company that I always thought that a publishing company was, you know, like whenever you had, like we have development editors and technical editors and marketing editors and all of this stuff. They write the back of your book, they write the front of your book. And I love that all-encompassing package that they offer us. And they're super nice too. I'm a huge fan of them. I was very excited whenever I got my book deal.
Awesome. So talk about your book for a second. Where can people find it? Who should be reading it?
It's DBA Tools in a Month of Lunches. I, along with the SQL and PowerShell community, built up this tool set. And it's available at dbatools.io. You can get all the information for downloading the tool set there. It's also in the PowerShell gallery and on Chocolaty and on GitHub. And the book is at dbatools.io/book. I'm writing it with my co-author, Rob Sewell. And it really fills a niche that I think needed to be filled. We don't have a lot of like cohesive articles that show how to start and go all the way through and use all or many of our 560 commands, you know, in a really cohesive way. And so that's what I love about the book, is that it gives us the time to explain all of that and show how to use it in the order that SQL Server DBAs are familiar with. So it's for both SQL Server DBAs, SQL Server are just professionals in general. And then also there's a lot of systems engineers that are finding the book useful, and it's kind of teaching them SQL Server. And then the book is also teaching SQL Server Pro's PowerShell. That's some of the feedback that we've gotten. And that was really exciting for me.
Okay. And Your background, SQL Server has been around for a lot longer than PowerShell has. When did you make the connection that, you know what, there's something missing here because we need to apply PowerShell to SQL Server? How did that thought process go?
That goes back a long way. So the way that I got into scripting was like on IRC back in the 90s. And I immediately loved it because you have this, it's like instant gratification, right? With compilers and Visual Studio, you had to open up this giant program and then you had to compile it and distribute it. And what I love about scripting is that it's just so immediate. So it makes it more accessible to everyone because you could just give them a little script if it's native. Right. So like VBScript in the old days on Windows, and then, you know, Bash and stuff like that on Linux. And so I've always been a huge fan. I liked Tickle and things like that. And then I went to the Professional Developers Conference in Los Angeles in 2005. And I saw that Microsoft was working on this shell. And I went and I watched Jeffrey Snover. He's the creator of PowerShell. He spoke and I was like, that is exactly what I want. But it was really challenging for me to go from like super scripting, no object-oriented anything, and, you know, and apply that to this whole new language. So it actually took a while. And I learned first with SharePoint. And then I picked up something called the SQL Management Objects, which is SMO. And whenever I first was able to like load a DLL and then see methods and property, that PowerShell had a place, and this wasn't doing it that well. So there was a lot of resistance from the SQL Server community. And then I went to the Professional Developers Conference in Los Angeles in 2005, and I saw the creator of PowerShell talk about this new shell that Microsoft is creating. And I knew that was exactly what I wanted. I was so excited because I was a fan of Linux, and I knew that there was just something more that could be done than Bash or VBScript, which is what I was really into at the time. And but it took a while because I was trying to take that VBScript and T-SQL knowledge and just smash it into PowerShell, and it didn't work well at all. But later on, I eventually had to use it for SharePoint, and that, you know, kind of got me used to it. And then I discovered SQL Management Objects, or SMO. And the first time that I was able to load a DLL and then see all of these methods that SQL Server Management Studio had been executing in the background, it was like this whole new world. And I was really excited. And I knew that PowerShell had a place in the SQL Server world, but Microsoft wasn't doing it very well. So there was a lot of resistance from the SQL Server community. And nobody wanted it. And they're just like, go away with all your power. We heard so much about it. And all it is a big mess. And I'm like, no. It could be just one command to migrate an entire instance. You don't have to worry about your databases one by one. You don't have to worry about your logins. You don't have to worry about all your jobs and your operators and your proxies and all of your AG settings. You can just have a single command do all of that for you. And I think that's what really made DBA tools popular within the community, is that it really showed how powerful automation can be. It kind of gave people, like before it was just so abstract because people were saying, here's how you develop SMO. And I'm like, no, that's for developers. What we need is an end user tool. And so that's what we started building, and then put that on GitHub, built a community with Slack. and it has grown. We have nearly 200 contributors to the project, and I think like 3,000 people in our Slack channel. So yeah, it's a really exciting project to be a part of.
Nice. And where can people find it on GitHub? Just DBA Tools? Is that the org?
So we created a GitHub organization called the SQL Collaborative. So if you go to github.com/SQL Collaborative/DBA Tools, that's where it's at on GitHub.
Okay. Easy enough. We'll make sure to include that in the show notes.
Thank you.
Now, we met because you had listened to a previous podcast by one of your colleagues.
It's true. Your brother. It was so cool. Whenever I met him, one of the first times that I spoke to him, he sat next to me because he's in my little pod. And he said, "Hey, I'm Aaron. I don't talk much and I'm not around a lot." And I was like, oh my God, he's setting expectations like right out the gate. And I absolutely love that. And I was like, man, I need an intro. I still don't really know what it would be. I don't talk a lot either, but whenever I do, you know, it just comes in little waves. Mm-hmm. But I totally get where he's coming from, because whenever you're in, when you're in the flow and you're programming, you just want somebody to be like, "Hey, so I went swimming on Saturday." You're like, "I don't care."
Right. Right. I'm concentrating.
Exactly.
Right. Well,
so I really like that. And then he helped me with my internet. He's been amazing with that. Super cool guy.
Well, if any of the listeners want to go back, Aaron Palermo, he is my older brother, and he's also 4 inches taller than me, and I'm 6'3". And
oh, wow.
He's never stood up next to you?
I didn't notice that he was. I've known people. Is that 6'7"? It's 6'6". Yeah, that blows my mind, because I've seen some people. I've like, don't say it. You know, whenever you're so tempted, you're like, wow, you're tall. That didn't cross my mind with him.
Yeah. Yeah. So
I'm surprised.
He was on the show. So look back on the archives, and the thing that I think is most interesting that we talked about, because I didn't even know, was the whole move to the software defined perimeter as the next generation. That's eventually, once it gets productized and whatnot, is set to replace the standard VPN. And I know that products still aren't out there, but with all the quarantine, everybody working from home, so many corporate VPNs are getting overloaded, because it's like, wait a minute, you mean every single person is going to be connected to the VPN? We didn't design it for that.
Right. So he is so brilliant whenever it comes to that. I've had a lot of fun. He helps me figure out like my Wi-Fi and all of that.
All right. And so along with PowerShell, you have a background in this with IRC and scripting. How did that influence your approach to DBA tools?
I think that it opened my horizons, that like I knew what was possible and I just had to get there. And a lot of times whenever people just have it right in front of them, they don't really know where to start. You know, whenever you're like, okay, I want to learn something or I want to create something, but you don't have a project. And what I love about like the SQL Server migrations, that was a task assigned mm-hmm. to me and I was dreading it. And I was like, oh, you know, I'm going to be doing this a whole lot of times again and again. And so I might as well invest all of that effort. And what I've found is that PowerShell has made every single task not boring, mm-hmm. right? So like migrations used to be super boring, but now it's really exciting because you execute one command, you go to the store, you pick up some groceries, you come back and you're just like, oh my God, everything is done and everything worked. And it also got me into like the whole CI/CD thing that I had no concept of. Through the project, I've been able to learn about integration tests. And every time somebody, you know, commits some code to our repository, we run thousands of tests. We perform actual real migrations against SQL servers, you know, that they come up clean, you create your databases, you do all of that. And so that gave me a lot of confidence that I could release a product, you know, that's going to work.
Well, that's really interesting. You got the DBA Tools GitHub repository, which is the whole source code is available for anybody. Along with using it, the source code is available to everybody. And you've got build script and automated tests baked in. There's a lot of people who think, okay, I've got some really complicated SQL Server stuff. How do I automate the verification of any of this stuff? Talk about what's there. If people go and look at that GitHub repository, what levels of test suites are there? And how do you reason about a build that creates and destroys databases and all that?
All right. So if you go to dbatools.io/tests, it'll bring you to the test directory in our repository. And we actually have a test that ensures that if you add a command to our repo, that it has a set of tests with it. So if we have 578 commands, we have at least 578 tests. And I've actually lost track at this point. But I do love that we have tests for also, like, we have a coding standard, and that is insured by our testing as well. And I forgot your original question. What was it?
The different levels of tests that you have in there, because this is a great learning tool. I'm thinking people can go and they can look at how you did it.
Exactly. And you know, it's been really amazing. That's what I've really loved about this project, is that we have people with all these different talents, right? So we have the backup and restore guy, we have the data masking guy, and you know, you have like me that does a lot of the migration stuff, and we all come together. And some of our people are testers, so they'll come into our repo. We all hang out together and chat and then create all of this. And I'm like, yeah, go ahead and add it. And then at my, you know, at my leisure, I can go in and see how they did it. And then whenever I get into it, I can create just a whole bunch of tests as well. But the moment that I was at a conference and somebody was like, you can take, you can actually have App Bayer spin up a whole fresh machine with SQL Server installed and do all of this stuff, and it's performing it against SQL Server 2008, 2012, 2014, 2016, 2017, and so on. And whenever they said that, and I knew that I could perform these migrations, I was able to sleep better at night with all of this, because before we had one poor overloaded, test guy. And with this, it's just so nice, because sometimes you'd be like, oh, I forgot the cluster test. And there's no forgetting anymore. Once you build that in, then it's there forever. And we even have tests that go out to Azure and things like that. And yeah, some of our things, the bread and butter of SQL Server is backup and restore. And I was so excited whenever I opened up the backup DBA database test suite, and there's like 75 actual, like, it's performing all of those backups and restoring it and doing all of that. And so I was able to learn from the community and then build upon that and then build tests that other people started learning from as well. And it made testing fun. I know everybody's like, it's so, like, I don't want to do that. Not now. Mm-hmm. And the fact that it's required, that people have to do it if they're contributing. And so then they have to learn, right? And we use something called Pester. And what is really awesome is I was able to take all that I learned from our testing suite on DBA tools and apply it at work. We had an inspection for an accreditation, and I took all of my Pester knowledge and I applied that to DISA STIGS, which is the Security Technical Implementation Guides. And, I made sure that things were as they should be. And then it's beautiful as it's flying across the screen and like green and red. And so, like, I called over all my bosses, I called over the customer. I even I showed the auditor, and they're like, this is super impressive. I was like, I know this should be available for everyone. And then I won a bonus for that. Nice. And so testing is, I know. So it made audits fun. Oh my God. Like, how is that possible? Right. So it made audits fun. It's made testing fun. I totally love PowerShell.
Awesome. Well, there's 500 and something commands, but there's a lot of people they have a database. Maybe it's complicated, maybe it's not. And a lot of them are migrating to SQL Azure. So yeah. is that easy with DBA tools?
It is. I'm not huge into the cloud, because the industry that I work in, isn't super there yet, but also I am not in the cloud position, mm-hmm. right? I'm still like super on-prem. So I knew that you would ask that question. And last night I was like, oh, I have to know the answer. So the answer is that we have two commands that will back up the database into something called a backpack, and then it restores it out to Azure. And then today I just created an issue in GitHub. I had a new idea. So our flagship command is start DBA migration, which migrates an entire SQL Server instance to another entire SQL Server instance. And I was like, what about start DBA AZ migration, right? Where it goes through each of the databases and it makes those backpacks one by one, and then it restores it one by one. And then I believe that copy DBA login works in Azure as well. So anything that's supported within start DBA migration can then be reused and, you know, it's kind of refactored for Azure in the future. And I think that'll be a fun command to write.
Many thanks to our podcast sponsor, Clear Measure. Clear Measure is a software architecture company that empowers clients' development teams to be self-sufficient, moving fast, delivering quality, and running their systems with confidence. Whether starting a new project or developing new technologies or techniques, Clear Measure sets up your team to deliver world-class results. Learn more at www.clearmeasure.com. Clear Measure, empowering software delivery.
Yeah, well, there's these little differences that just make it where it's not the same. And one of the things just remembered last week was taking a backup of a database and then restoring it to a different server just all together. That's not, mm-hmm. I mean, you can't do that in Azure SQL. You have to say, oh, wait, let me go and copy the backpack of an already existing one or export to a container, a blob container store. And then let me go and restore it to a new data. Oh, but you can't restore it to an existing Azure SQL. You have to rename it so that it can restore it from scratch and create it. And so there's all these little differences where I could see those being commands that would be hugely useful.
Right. There's a lot of opportunity for automation with that. And that's actually a line that I used. I did, even though like my whole pretty much image online is PowerShell and SQL Server, I'm no longer a SQL DBA. I just didn't really want to worry about being on call anymore. I didn't want to worry about downtime. Mm. And I looked at other things that interested me, and information security is one of those things. So I looked at the InfoSec jobs within my company, and then I wrote to the hiring manager, and I was like, I took the job description, right? And then I was like, here's all the opportunities for automation that I see. And it worked. And, you know, I applied to one position that I wanted, and I got it. And so PowerShell is just, it saves the day yet again, because now I don't have to be a DBA worrying about being on call anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of responsibility there. And when the database is having issues, pretty much everything is having issues.
Exactly. I think the only thing worse to be is like a storage admin and like Active Directory admin. You know, that's just, it's such bait. Like it's the foundation.
They get blamed for everything.
Of the whole company. Yeah. It's just stressful. And I didn't want that anymore. I wanted a 40-hour week, not have to worry.
Right. Right. Well, so DBA tools, is on GitHub, but you've actually done a lot of things with GitHub. You're a GitHub star, which is kind of like a GitHub MVP. Tell us about that.
It's true. Okay. So it's a new program, and I'm not exactly sure why I was chosen to be a GitHub star, but if I had to guess, I think that it's because, you know, with the SQL Server community, we came from a very proprietary place. It's always been just Microsoft. We haven't seen the code. Linux is scary. And along with Linux being scary, it's open source is scary. And something that was very important to me, not only is it scary, but we've also heard that it's very toxic, right? And what I wanted to do was build a community that's super welcoming and super open to people and helping them get onto GitHub. Because if I could get somebody to learn how to create a pull request, then they can contribute to DBA tools. They can add their backup restore magic. They can add all of their knowledge there. And so we actually, it's really cool within the SQL Server Slack community that you could, if you go to dbatools.io/Slack, they have an invite there, and it's a, there's the entire community, right? And then you have DBA tools specifically. Right now there's probably 11 or 12,000 people in the Slack workspace. But we had people that would spend literally hours getting other Microsoft centric people onto GitHub, showing them how to use it at the command line. I'm actually not a fan of the GitHub command line because I found that it just kind of complicated an already complicated thing. And their GUI, their GitHub desktop, is like, it made everything make sense to me. And so if somebody was more interested in the GUI aspect, then I would you know, walk them through and things like that. So I think that that's one of the reasons that I am a GitHub star, is because I got a really resistant community to embrace open source and GitHub.
Awesome. And GitHub has expanded so much, regardless of
it's
just
so cool.
I mean, they even have sponsorships capabilities now, monetization. Have you done anything with those? Do you know anything about those?
Actually, yes. It was super cool. So DBA tools 1.0, it took 5 years, like Gmail, you know, it took forever to get out of beta. And it was this monumental task. But what was really cool is that it was about the same month that the GitHub sponsorships also debuted. And so I wrote to GitHub and I didn't know anybody, but I'm just like, I'm looking around Twitter, you know, I'm just like, hello, I would really like to be a part of this program. And I would also like these members of our or a GitHub organization to also be part of it. And then we can include that in our debut of DBA Tools 1.0. And it has been so awesome. So it's so cool because people are sponsoring us. They're paying, you know, $5, $3, $5, $20 a month, and GitHub takes none of it. And last year they were actually doubling it. And we, as an organization, received a Git grant from the DevOps Collective, and it was for $5,000.
Wow.
And GitHub, wait. I take that back. It was for $10,000 massive dollars. And then GitHub doubled that to $20,000.
Wow.
And so it was really awesome that I was able to share this with so many people. And then we got to watch everybody's office upgrades online, right? Because a lot of people took that. They bought new machines with it. They bought new office chairs and so on. So that was something that was really cool. But I absolutely recommend anybody who's on GitHub, it costs nothing to set up your GitHub sponsorships if you're in a country where that they support. People will sponsor, like just drive by people I've never heard from, people that I've never met. And for me, and this probably varies for other people, like I set up a Patreon and I set up, you know, the Open Collective, and they actually take a big old chunk, whereas GitHub does not. And so, yeah, if you are a developer on GitHub, then go ahead, set up your sponsorships. It adds this cute little icon at the top with a heart that says sponsor, and it makes it really easy. Mm-hmm. And it's something that I've done. Like I know there's a couple programs that I really love. OBS, ASCII Doc Effects, which is something that I use to write the book. There's been a whole bunch of people that I have contributed to. And so it's something that people actually do. And I think that it takes away the stigma of monetizing open source. So bravo to GitHub for that, because that was something that's really big. Now it's not a shameful thing to be like, yeah, make money from open source.
Well, everything needs funding.
Exactly. Now it's just a little hurt.
Right. Well, before, I guess everything's been funded. It was just self-sponsorship in the form of, yes, I'll volunteer to be a committer.
That's
kind of what it is. So now if you like it, but you don't have the, if you don't have the time to actually submit a pull request, well, okay, let me see if I can sponsor somebody else submitting a pull request.
That's actually something that GitHub sponsorship has enabled. There was someone on Twitter that was like, "Hey, I really need this command," and I was like, "I don't have time, but maybe this guy Claudio will." And then the guy was like, "Claudio, I'll pay you." And he's like, "Hey, you could just be a GitHub sponsor," and that happened, and it just made it so much easier for that guy to pay Claudio in that way. So yeah, that's right. Another really good point.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. Now you have a few channels and different places on Twitter. You've got PSA DBA Tools, the Live Coders, PowerShell Live. Give us a rundown of what people can find on each different place.
Okay, so my personal Twitter that is, you know, all just tech and stuff like that, it's twitter.com/CL.
It's the shortest Twitter handle ever.
Second shortest. There's also so it used to be that it was just two, and then at some point they allowed one because there's if you go to twitter.com/6, it's this hacker dude. And let me see, hold on real quick. Twitter.com/6.
Wait a minute. Are they supporting more than ASCII characters? Could I be twitter.com/smiley face emoji?
That would be awesome. And you should try it because I think that they're introducing new stuff all the time. Because whenever I did get CL, it was two and now it's one.
So the Live Coders and PowerShell Live, what do you do with those other channels?
So with the other channels, let's see. So they aren't all mine. I'm just a part of groups, right? PowerShell Live is it's a Twitter group of a lot of the people who get on Twitch and primarily code and live stream about PowerShell. And then whenever you get on, they have some like Azure DevOps functions and that notice that you're on, and then I'll actually tweet that. So it's useful for alerts. With DBA Tools, that is specific to if there's any kind of like SQL PowerShell news, I usually like retweet other people. But what's really been awesome is that people write a lot of articles about DBA Tools, and then we can give them retweets there so that it gives them more exposure. With the Live Coders, Live Coders is a project created by Jeff Fritz. And it's really, really awesome. It's this diverse group of coders. Like, you know, you have PowerShell, you have game developers, you have JavaScript, you have Python, you have like C and stuff like that. So if you go to twitch.com/team/livecoders, there's always somebody there that's coding, and it gives you a nice little panel to pick from. And so, you know, if I go and my usuals aren't on, then I'll just go there and I can find somebody new. And I really like watching streams. Like one of my favorite streams is this dude named Code Phobia, and he does a whole bunch of AWS stuff that I don't really understand. Mm-hmm. But I really like hearing his process, and it's just soothing hearing him talk all day. I look forward to it.
Awesome. And what's the channel name again on that one?
Live Coders. Sorry, it's Team Singular, Live Coders Plural. And then it gives you this. Yeah. So people who are part of the team are then shown, you know, whenever they're live and things like that.
Gotcha. Okay. Awesome. Well, this is a lot of good stuff. And we're going to include all of those URLs that we mentioned in the show notes. And this is great. Is there anything else that the listeners should know? Of course, they need to go and check out DBA Tools immediately if they aren't already a user.
They should know that if they are big fans of Linux, that PowerShell also runs on Linux and Mac. So, you know, if you are into object-oriented scripting, I've never seen anything like it, and I've never worked with anything like it. It's extremely powerful. It's really, really fun. And it's available out the box in a lot of corporations and organizations. And, you know, but if they have Linux, then now it's just in little packages. it'd be nice if it was a default package. I don't know if it is on any distro yet. But yeah, so I do want to let people know that if you're a fan of Linux, you can still be a fan of PowerShell. And I recommend it as somebody who's been working with Linux since the 90s.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, Chrissy, hey, thanks so much for coming on the show and being a guest. I appreciate it.
It has been a pleasure. You look like your brother.
Man, what a compliment you just paid to Aaron. All right. Thanks a bunch. And until next time, keep shipping.
You've been listening to the Azure DevOps Podcast, a show for developers and DevOps professionals shipping software using Microsoft technologies. Go to www.azuredevops.show for show notes and other episodes. On behalf of your host, Jeffrey Palermo, and our sponsors, thanks for listening, and may God bless you.